Thank you, Peggy.
You have to turn on?
It's on, I think.
All right.
And I am
can you
too.
Hear me? Yeah. Okay. Brother and sister, it's my pleasure to be here. It's now Christmas time, and I, on behalf of World Vision Hong Kong and my home church, Taipo Alliance Church, I wish you peace and joy. Christmas is an inspiring festival that always reminds us what Jesus has given us. I was here on 14th of December 2014. That is 3 years ago. I wonder who are here. Yes. Actually, that service inspired me as well. Can you hear? Can you remember what choruses you have sung that day? I learned this is above the cross. So after that, I shared these choruses with my friends every Christmas. It's about the cross. It's not about the manger. It's not about the gifts. It's about Jesus who became our Savior and died on the cross. Do you remember the sermon that day? I picked up a sentence from Pastor James. Jesus had been a refugee when he was a baby. So Jesus can identify with the needs of the refugees, and Jesus cares about the refugees. That service, I came to share the needs of South Sudanese, and unfortunately, today I have to also come to share their needs again. War hasn't stopped. In fact, at least 66 million people now in the world are displaced. That includes Syrian, 6 million refugees from Syria, 800,000 Rohingya from Myanmar, and 1.2 million from South Sudan. South Sudan is the youngest nation in the world. It's only 6 years. It has gone through the longest civil war in African history, 22 years. So it was independent in 2011, but war broke up again in 2013, and it's been 4 years, the civil war. And now, 6 million people have been displaced, and 1.2 million are refugees. 1 million is now in Uganda. So a month ago, when I know that I have to visit these South Sudanese refugees, I immediately remember your church. Because I know you care about them. And thank you for your support to World Vision. And also on behalf of the South Sudanese refugee, I say thank you because they've been very grateful for the outside support. Okay. So I just give you a brief statistics of the refugees. 60% of the refugees are children. And 60% are women and children. Where are the men? They stay inside South Sudan to fight the war, and some of them are killed because of the war. And more than half of the refugees have only got primary education. What World Vision is doing? We give out food and cash assistance because with some cash, they can buy their necessities. This is a food distribution center I took in my visit. It's called the Bidi Bidi Refugee Center. Now it's the biggest refugee center in the world. It's the fastest growing refugee center. Bidi Bidi is a nice name. But unfortunately, all the people there, they are homeless and they are awaiting for assistance. These people, they come here once a month to get their necessary food, like pulses, cereal, flour, oil, sugar, and salt. So Wilson is giving out, handling 5,000 metric tons of food every month. We partner with World Food Program. So World Food Program give us the food and then we do the administration. So every day we have to handle 5,000 people, refugees to come here. And the distribution is supporting 300,000 people a month. So we also give out non-food items like solar light, shelter, utensils for the people to set up their own house of shelter and then live, be able to live in Uganda. And my colleagues foresee that the war will not end easily. And it takes at least 5 years for the refugees to stay in Uganda and another 5 years for rebuilding. So the plan is for a 10-year, 5-year relief and then 5-year rehabilitation. Okay. So we also take care of the water and sanitation in the camp. You know, water is very essential, it's for survival, and then if there's not enough water, the disease will spread easily. And malaria is the biggest issue currently. So we also take care of the women because a lot of them are pregnant, they are lactating mothers, and if they know how to take care of the hygiene, they can also take care of the children. And for livelihood, World Vision help the refugees to start their own life in Uganda. So we give them training, vocational training, because a lot of them are youth, like teach them how to do the beef hiving, train them a skill to serve the community. So World Vision tell these refugees that although you are refugees, you still can, you do still don't have to rely on others. You can earn your living and then you can settle here. Okay. So we also teach a lot of children and youth, give them classes, learn the necessary knowledge to be able to survive in Uganda. And the last thing, this is very important, is for child protection. Since I said a lot of children, they came here, they are unaccompanied children. They lost their parents on the way. They visualize how their parents and their other people being slaughtered, killed. And a lot of them are traumatized. So when they arrive in Uganda, we give them a lot of counseling, and we teach them how to take away all their bad memory. Okay, this is one of the center that we run with UNICEF. Inside here, we have child-friendly spaces, and we ask the children to draw pictures, to tell stories, to dance and sing, so that they can relieve their trauma inside them. This is a counseling center. This is a counseling table. Like when they arrive, our staff will tell them, we'll ask what trauma they have gone through. And I want to share with you a story I heard from my colleague. Her name is Evelyn. She told me that all the children came here with a lot of bad memories. One of the girls, I call her Maggie. Maggie is only 11 years old. And on the way, she took her brother with her. He's only 7 years old. And on the way, she was introduced by two men, and they said they can take care of her, but they defile her. And she didn't realize that she's pregnant. When she came to this camp, Evelyn, they said Maggie hasn't been talking for 2 weeks, and they start counseling her, and they realize what she has gone through. And a few months later, she gave birth to a baby. Now, Maggie is well, and she can mix with the other children, and she's taking care of her baby. So this is only one of the many stories that these children has gone through. And our counseling team is helping all these children to come out of their pit, their trough in life. Okay, so they need our prayer. Pray for their wisdom, how to take care of these children, and help them gone through all their difficulties, so that the children can reintegrate into this community. And this child is called Victor. He's only 11 years old. He's also an unaccompanied child. He brought three siblings with him, younger siblings with him, because on the way they fled the war, they lost their mom. So they spent a week going to DR Congo, and then another 13 days to walk to this Uganda camp. So in the reception center, they met a neighbor called Jacqueline. And that's the lady in the middle. Jacqueline is Victor's neighbor. So Victor told his sibling, since we don't have any parents, we have to follow Jacqueline. She will not leave us. So they follow Jacqueline to Uganda, and they settled down. So Jacqueline became Victor's and siblings' foster parent. Jacqueline is a refugee herself. She has three children, and she's pregnant. But she's also willing to take care of another four children. Although all those food for Victor will be supplied by UNICEF, but she has the heart to take care of another four children. Jacqueline's story inspired me, because I realized that very often we think that we have to have more enough in order to share. But in fact, if we have some capacity, we still be able to share. Victor's dream is to be able to be an electrical engineer, because he's interested in electrical appliances. And he needs to be under care by a loving family. And he needs the resources to be able to achieve his dream. And he also wants to go home with his family, and hopefully he can find his parents. Jacqueline, World Vision is giving her some money to start her business. She has a small kiosk along the road. She sells some grocery to be able to earn some living. And what inspired me is, in fact, we can be foster parents of these children afar. We don't have to have a lot in order to take care of these children. Though we are apart, though we are far away, if we know that this, we still can be able to share our resources. We pray with Jacqueline, pray for her safe delivery of her baby and her prosperity of her business. South Sudan needs your prayer. Pray that children and family continue to have the food and clean water for their survival. They will be able to settle down in Uganda for many years. And also, God will touch the heart of those traumatized children, that they still feel the peace and joy they used to have. So my message is, because a lot of people, they don't know how to have peace with others. So there are war and people suffer. And I hope Christmas enable us to think of Jesus, and he's the peace builder. He's a Prince of Peace. He came here and he died for us. He shared his goodness with us. And then we have a lot of goodness to share with our friends, our neighbors, and even the needy afar. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy.
Well, true religion is caring for the fatherless and the widows. I've always asked myself personally, how do I do that? You know, and World Vision is one of many means, but it's a good one. And I'm grateful, Peggy, Cora, giving your life to this. Let's pray and make a transition into to our sermon. Lord Jesus, we know the world is not the way you want it to be. And you will make things right on your next coming. But in the meanwhile, you have instructed us as your people to love the fatherless, to care for widows. And we thank you so much that we have ways to do that and to get us eyes off self and onto the world's needs. And we thank you for these people. You hear the names we've given them, Lord, Victor and Jacqueline and Maggie, and they're just representative of many thousands. But I thank you. I thank you for blessing World Vision. I thank you for Peggy and Cora and all their teammates here in Hong Kong. And I thank you for future generations that you'll raise up that will give their lives to frontline ministry. For all the Ugandans and others in Africa that are at this big center there, I thank you for them and their tireless ministry and giving their lives to these people and their needs. Thank you for this Christmas update. And thank you for blessing World Vision for Christ's honor and glory. Amen. Wow. Yeah. Christmas joy. Are you having any Christmas joy? I mean, after hearing that, you say, oh, wow. You know, it tugs at your heart. And and you should be moved. You should be moved. We identify with that need. But how about Christmas joy for you? Are you experiencing that this year? You know, Bonnie and I got in a little discussion on sending a present to my older son in the United States, and it wasn't such a joyful discussion. You ever get in those kind of intense discussions about what you should get for who and how much you're going to spend on gifts this year? What party are you going to go to? What party are you not going to go to? You know, does it ever... It's not too joyful, is it? Well, anyway, I hope despite those little discussions, you're having overall a joyful Christmas, okay? Does this guy make it joyful, boys and girls? Some people think, yeah, that's the reason for the season, but that's not it. But it's good, you know. I like wrapping the gifts. This guy, I guess he liked red a lot. But you know, I like to wrap gifts. When I was a kid, I really liked unwrapping them. You know, but as you get to be an adult and you have your children, then you really try to think, what will they like? What will they, you know, and you just can't wait to see their eyes and they open it and stuff. It's kind of neat. So giving of gifts is good. But, you know, it all boils down to being with family. This is perhaps not as much a Chinese New Year's is very dear to us in Hong Kong. But for us in the West, you know, this Christmas thing is our big one, right? It's a big time, and what makes it a big time is we're there together with family, and so there is all kinds of joy, but the joy is about the Christ child, and I think we can say that as Christians, and we mean it. But I hope today, as we reflect again on the shepherd's story, that this joy will come through, and actually, I call it, it's an angelic joy. It's a joy of angelic proportion. It's a great joy. It's a mega joy, a mega charis, whatever you want to call it. It's great joy, and we're going to look at that. Luke has a way of talking about joy in his gospel. It's over 12 times he mentions it. 24 times about joy, right? No, 12 times about joy. Okay, here we go. John the Baptist. Now, Zechariah got really happy after his you know, remember when he was zipped up and then he started speaking, and he had this song of joy over how God had blessed him with a son, him and Elizabeth in his old age. And the neighbors and the relatives were filled with joy when they figured out, yeah, John the Baptist was born to Elizabeth and Zechariah in their old age. There's a lot of joy going around John the Baptist, and even he jumped for joy in his mother's womb when Mary entered the room with baby Jesus in her womb. 72 disciples, they go out and they're used of God to heal and deliver people, cast out demons. And they were so happy, and they came back and just said, hey, look now, you know, don't get too overboard here with your joy about your ministry power, but, you know, rejoice that your names are written in the book of heaven. And just a few verses below that, he himself, filled with joy in the Holy Spirit, gives thanks to God the Father that you have revealed who you are to these children. Humble people, not exalted scholars, but the humble people. Jesus' joys. And he talks about the Jews' joy when Jesus' interest entered into Jerusalem. And it's interesting, that song, the way it's recorded in Luke 19. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, for the king, the Lord's king has entered the city. And it says, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We'll look at that a little bit better, but that's a unique phrase there. But they're filled with joy, people, as Jesus enters Jerusalem to go to die. They didn't realize that at that particular point, at that road, the entryway into Jerusalem. The resurrection joy, of course, is recorded in Luke 24. The disciples were so thrilled and happy to see, yes, my Lord has been resurrected. The guys on the road to Emmaus come back and hang out in Jerusalem. They got to tell everybody, hey, look, he's risen. He bumped into us. We sat down and eaten, and wow, he opened our eyes and told us everything. And then while he's telling this report, boom, Jesus shows up, and everybody's happy. This joyful stuff in Luke. Good, joyful. Angels in Luke. Okay, we know Zechariah. All these that are occurring with Mary, shepherds and angels. The reason I wanted to do a little bit, we got Gabriel talking to Zechariah and Mary, but with the shepherds, it's an angel. It doesn't identify himself as Gabriel. It could have been. But shepherds and an angel. And then all of a sudden, we got this host. And we're going to talk about what's a host of angels, a big crowd of angels. Jesus in the garden. That kind of surprised me. Do you remember when he was in the garden praying and his disciples are doing what? Kind of like some of you out there, okay, getting nice and cozy, huh? But anyway, they're praying. He's praying, but then an angel comes. He knows, because he wants this cup to be removed from him. He doesn't want to be separated from his Father by all this sin being laid on him on the cross. And he's struggling with this. Take this cup from me, if you will. And then this angel, only Luke records this, comes to minister to him. Women at the tomb. Yeah, the angels are there. Hey, look, don't cry anymore. You know, this his body's not been stolen. He's resurrected. Go tell the disciples to wait, and he's going to come and show himself. So the angels in Luke, and there's many verses. Actually, Luke, this is where I was getting mixed up a little bit. It's 24 references to angels in Luke, and that's more than all the other gospels. Okay, so we're going to look specifically at the shepherd's story, a great joy, if you will, of angelic proportions. I think you're familiar with it. If you had a bulletin today, it was the green insert that has the scriptures there from Luke 2. And in the same region, do you know what Marlboro Country is? Anybody out there? If you know what I'm talking about, Marlboro Country. A few Americans. We grew up at Christmas time, I did, and they advertised cigarettes on TV. And everybody wanted to go to Marlboro Country at Christmas time and be a cowboy. And they wish you Merry Christmas from Marlboro Country. We're not in Marlboro Country where cowboys roam. We're where the shepherds roam. And then specifically near the city of David, Bethlehem. Not so highlight on your map. A little tiny place for the smallest tribe of Benjamin from where David. But David was the king that unified the country. He was a man of God after God's own heart. Yeah, he had his problems just like you have your problems. I got my problems. We fail, but we're forgiven. He failed. He's forgiven. But he was the greatest king that Israel has known. And after him, he was promised, you know, somebody from your throne is going to reign forever and ever and ever. And that's all those things about David's prodigy after him would be the King of Kings, who is Jesus. Well, in that same region, that region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds. Now, you guys got any shepherd friends? You got any shepherd friends? Oh, Bonnie's got a shepherd friend? You have to talk to me about this, love. I didn't know. That's my wife I'm talking to, by the way. But she's coughing now. We don't go into it. But anyway, shepherds in that culture were not too much on the top ring, you know. The top guys would be the Sanhedrin, right? The Pharisees and Sadducees. And, of course, the royalty, the king and the princes and all those guys, yeah. And then you had the people who were the money shakers who owned all kinds of things, business as well as livestock. And, you know, they kept the temple going with big donations, that kind of stuff. But the shepherds were way down low, so low that in Israel law, they would not allow a shepherd to go to court and testify. They were seen as people who lied and who were dumb-witted and didn't understand, who could be easily bribed because they were so poor. And they came in contact with dead animals. They couldn't go to the ritual cleansings, and so therefore, in the Judaic system of the way they did worship, they were often unclean. And so you might say, pretty sinful guys, you know, turn my nose up to those shepherds. So in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. They were keeping watch over the flock by night. So it's nighttime. They're doing their job. They're out there with the sheep. And it's in that region of where just Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. So an angel of the Lord appeared to them. I've got a friend. I hope you meet him someday and you can hear his testimony. But he claims an angel met him and helped him get in an ambulance to go to get an operation. You know what this angel looked like? As a Filipina domestic worker. Oh, come on. It couldn't have been a real angel, could it? And my friend would say, yeah, nobody ever saw this person. They didn't know who she was, how she showed up, and how she did what she did. 200-pound guy helped him get in the lift, go downstairs, and then wait for the ambulance and get him in, make sure the ambulance guys come and take him, put him in the ambulance, drive him off, and then she stands out and dances in front of the thing and disappears. Okay, maybe you've had encounters with angels that look like people. Sometimes we're told like that in Scripture. You can have an encounter with an angel, not even know it, right? Okay, I think that happened. But not here, gang. We're not talking about a normal little person. We're talking about an angel of the Lord appeared, and what happens? And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now let me ask you, have you seen the glory of the Lord? I haven't. The glory of Christ in you, I can see that. And even as we sang today, and I think hopefully you'll get excited as we begin to understand the glory in the highest, what that's all about. But I haven't seen this glory that when Christ stood on the mountain, it became so white and he's there with Elijah and Moses and everybody falls down and wants to worship. I haven't seen that glory which Isaiah said, and he falls down and says, worthy am I? I'm not worthy. I'm just a man of filthy lips. And then this glory that John sees on the island of Patmos of the revelation of Christ in his full glory. I haven't seen that. But it is a brilliant white light. So much so, they were filled with great fear. And this is megaphobia. Megaphobia. There's an angel. Excuse me, I'm trying to pinpoint you. Camille was our angel last week. She's kind of scary, isn't she? Mom and Dad would say, yeah, in our own right. No, what the kids say, oh, I thought you're an alien, right? But it was each time the angel appeared, after the end it was over, the person, whether it was Mary or Joseph or the shepherds, they tried to communicate something. They said something to this effect. You know, I was less afraid when I thought you were an alien. But meaning that now that they know that this is an angel, they're greater fear. But it's hard to communicate this terrified look. And it's very hard to act that one out. This is one artist's rendition. They still don't look scared enough to me. And the sheep are standing around like, meh, meh. Another angel tonight. Here they are. You know. But anyway, did the angel look like that? I don't know. But it's some brilliant light, and it drove them to great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. Angels don't exist to scare you. I think some of the alien movies I've seen, those aliens want to scare me. Oh boy, there's some really bad alien movies out there. But angels aren't here to scare you. They're here to minister to you. They bring a message from God, or they're there to protect you. They're not there to scare you. And an angel said to them, fear not. Why? For behold, I bring you good news. Oh, me? Shepherd? Blow on the ring guy, you got some good news for me. Not only is it good news, it's good news of great joy. Okay, boys and girls, you still with me? Not asleep yet? Okay, now some great joy. This is great joy. There's some really great joy. You go like this. Great joy! Okay, so let's do it, boys and girls. 1, 2, 3.
Great joy!
All right. So I bring you good news of great joy. Not a little bit of joy, but great joy. That will be for all the people. All the people. Now, some scholars like to say it's all of Israel who's waiting for the Messiah to be born. That's okay. That's okay. You can go that way. But I think all the people means all the people. I mean, all the people. That's, forgive me, I'm not such a great scholar, but anyway. Good news of great joy for all the people. Let me go back to that one. You don't see it here. I will bring you. I see. In the original, it goes something like this. I evangelize you with an evangel of great joy. So in other words, the words good news. Let me get rid of evangelize. I good news you with a good news of great joy. I good news you. You see, we are evangelicals. We get a bad rap in the media today. We're evangelicals, are, you know, politically idiots. You know, that's what we are. No, we good news people with good news of great joy. We're good news people. We're good newsing. We're good newsing. We want to tell you the same message which the angel had. Okay, so I just thought that was a little good. Okay, what is this good news? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, I kind of wonder, you know, was Jesus really born at night? And I love that song, Fall on Your Knees. You know, it's really, I can't go without Christmas without singing that one. That's, you got to sing that. I really believe it was at night. I mean, the shepherds come at night, but they say it's this day in the city of David, this day of the calendar year. I don't think it's the daytime. I think he's born in the evening. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Here we are back again, the city of David, to whom the promised seed would come and live forevermore and rule his people. A Savior. Who? A Savior. Who is Christ the Lord. So this good news of great joy, a Savior who is Christ the Lord is on planet Earth, born today. Boys and girls, are you good at maths? Addie's good. Okay. Anybody? Oh, Ryan, are you pretty good too? Okay. Well, here we go. A Savior plus a Christ plus Lord equals good news of great joy. We need a Savior to step in and get rid of all this war in Africa. We need a Savior to step in and make sure that there is no more oppressing of the world through substances that abuse us, substances that leads us to substance abuse that are killing us right and left. And I speak of my home nation. It just breaks my heart to see cocaine and opioids and all this stuff that's being pumped in your mouth to make you live. It's killing us. But praise be to God, some of us have been delivered from that, right? The gospel is strong enough. We need a Savior to save us from our selfishness. And make us people who care for those who don't have. And the Christ is the Messiah, the waited one, the one who rules forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But I just remembered something, I forgot. Hey, we need a Savior for what? Deliver us from death. We need the Christ. We need the anointed one of the Lord, the Messiah, who's going to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. We need a Lord in our life to just teach us how to live and be the people of God, to restore us back to that. This is the good news of great joy for you today. This is born this person, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. You know, a lot of people feel that if I submit to the Lordship of Christ, it's going to mean no happiness. That's the big lie. You're going to find fulfillment. That's for who you were made. You're made by the Creator to be His child. Okay, so we have a Savior plus Christ plus Lord equals good news of boys and girls. What kind of joy? Great joy. I watched Chelsea football. I can shout louder than that. But we got a Lord that brings us what? Okay. All right. Thanks, gang. All right. And this will be a sign for you. And you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now it's they didn't have Pampers in those days, or what do we call it? Disposable diapers. Don't want to give a plug for just one company. But they didn't use that, right? So they had swaddling cloths. But the unusual thing is you're going to find this Savior, the Christ, the Lord, in a manger. Not a little bed. Did anybody deliver their baby in a taxi or something like that? I mean, crazy. Some of us have these kind of crazy experiences. You know, you came out, kid, and mom was in the back seat of the taxi. We just didn't make it, and you were born there. But most of us have delivered our children where? At a hospital or a birthing center, or if you had the luxury, you were at home, And you had a good midwife there to help you, someone, a relative to help you. But there's always a chance. But has anybody seen a baby born and placed in a manger? No. In a feeding trough for an animal? No. Now, hold on. This is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the Savior of the world. He's come. This is the cause for great joy. And you're going to put Him in this manger. Well, that's the sign. You know, you guys, when you see Him, the angels telling the shepherds, you'll know this is Him because He's going to be in this manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel, not one, but a multitude of the heavenly host. Boys and girls, I don't know about you. I don't use that word too much. There was a multitude of the heavenly army. Okay? Well, they're going to be praising God and saying, but let me see what a multitude looks like. I kind of like the way this person's dabbed this modern art, and even the sheep seem to be submissive here. I like that one, but the it's kind of depicting the whole sky is filled with this host, this multitude of angels. Now some people make it look like that, you know, all these guys with wings on them. This is another one. Wow, a lot of activity going there. That's a multitude, a lot. Okay, so we've had one guy speaking, and then all of a sudden, boom, The sky is full of all these bright white hosts of angels. Now, the only people I think old is as old as I am, there might be a few guests here. I don't know your age. I won't embarrass you. But does anybody remember a guy named Sean Phillips? He wrote a song in the 70s called Moonshine, not the thing you drink, the beautiful moon. And so I went to see this guy's concert. He wore his hair down to here, you know, and a big rock star, and he's singing Moonshine. And when he sang Moonshine, all of a sudden the theater where we were watching this concert, floodlight with lights, and it's kind of scary, right? And I was like, wow. Man. So what I'm getting at, it was this glory of the Lord, one angel. He's told his thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, everybody's up there. The whole place is lit up. It's now let's listen. What did the multitude of angels do? Praising God and saying, now this is the kicker, this is the whole heart of this message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And that's the glory in excelsis Deo. That's the Latin for that phrase, glory to God in the highest. A song of great joy, okay? This is how it goes, okay. Break it down, glory to God in the highest, peace, men, and earth. And so I just think that's kind of cool-looking parallel there. But if you want to get it, the connection between those parallels, I came up with this phrase. It's helpful for me. God in the highest gets the glory when there's men on earth get the peace. Is that okay? You think that's a fair interpretation? When men on earth are getting the peace, God's getting the glory. Okay. Some of you are acting, well, what do you mean by peace, James? Are you thinking, well, shalom from the Hebrew to today is a multifaceted thing, but it's not only being calm and without anxieties and fears in your heart, it's meaning that you know that you, the creature, are one with your Creator. You're what you're supposed to be in this present moment as His child. So glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now the old King James Version will and peace to all men, that kind of thing. But the if you look at the manuscripts and the more modern translation, NIV, the ESV, they're going to come up with this concept, among those with whom he is pleased, among those with whom his favor rests, this idea. So you got to ask yourself, is God pleased with me? Am I a good enough husband? Am I a good enough worker at World Vision? Man, I'm a pastor of a church. God must be pleased with me. Now, gang, this is why I say the heart of the message today, this great joy. The world is in rebellion. The world does not want a Lord. The world does not want a Messiah. The world says, I don't need a Savior. And we ignore the great problems we have on this planet, like drugs, like war, and like corruption in business and institutions. And some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You're the people you work for, and you see the shenanigans that go on. We need a Savior. we're people in rebellion against that. And what God is saying, I understand you're in rebellion. Instead of just wiping you all out, I am going to become flesh. I'm going to become a man, and I'm going to live a sinless life and show you how I wanted you to live. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to go to a cross, and I'm going to die on that cross for you so you can have hope. I love you. I care for you. So it could get a self-centered young man at age 23 and turn him around to where, I don't know exactly what it means to follow you, Lord, but I'll do one step at a time. Right now on planet Earth, those who haven't dropped their knees to Christ and said, thank you for dying on the cross for me, they're at war with God. God has created us for himself. So is God pleased with you or pleased with me? There's only one way I'm going to say you can be pleased with me, Lord, because I've done what you said. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who lived a sinless, perfect life. And Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for me so that I, the sinner, can become the righteous Son of God. That's the only thing I do. I believe. And now I'm going to turn around. I'm going to quit living life my way, and I'm going to do it your way. And you know, I know your experience, guys, women and men of God, you know you fail. And when I do fall, and I'm aware of that, I come and fall again and say, please forgive me, Jesus, please forgive me, and fill me with your spirit that I won't do those stupid mistakes again. If I do it again, I come back and I pray the same prayer. But I don't quit believing and repenting. That's basically what he wants from you and from me, even this day, the 17th of December, 2017. Trust and believe in the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. And if you aren't following him, submitting to his lordship in whatever area of your life, turn around, come back and say, forgive me, Lord. I know you died for me on the cross, and now enable me to live for you. Totally. Okay, glory, God, highest, peace, men on earth. When we become at peace with God through faith in what Christ has done for us, he's getting the glory. Who can change? I just have to personalize it. Nobody could change me except God. I've got a couple of boys who aren't following Jesus right now, and I pray for them. And I want them to turn around and come. Maybe some of you have teenagers or perhaps even adult children who do not want to follow God right now. And you know there's nothing you can do to convince them. God has to save you. My mother prayed for 11 years with a couple of friends. And these friends of her that she prayed with for me for 11 years, they were former missionaries in China, and they were born in Yunnan province, and they grew up and even went to Hudson Taylor's funerals as little toddlers. And it's just amazing that God worked these people into my mother's life, prayed for me. I came to faith, and then now where has God had me? He's had me in Hong Kong among Asians for the last 30-plus years. Yeah. World rebellion being changed to what? Kingdom of God. And it's going to be realized on the second coming. When the angels went away from them into heaven, okay, so you can imagine, hey, what bright lights, and they told us glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to men from whom God's favor rests, upon whom those whom God is pleased. And they've heard this message, and then, okay, angels have gone. What are we going to do? And the shepherds said, let's go over to Bethlehem, man, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They had the fabulous blessing of those angels. And now they're going to go check it out, and they go to check it out, and there it is, the babe in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they see it just as they were told, and they worship, and they glorify and praise God, and then they went out and told everybody they knew in the region. Well, Okay. What's your song this Christmas? What's your joy song? I'm just about to steal Bo's song. Excuse me, Bo. Don't steal your song. It's all about the cross. That's my song. That's your song. As people of faith. My sin problem was taken care of. My enmity with God. I'm no longer an enemy with him. I'm now his friend because of what Christ has done. Well, who are we going to sing it to, I guess, is the biggest thing. You know, we're gonna sing here. We're going to sing at the plaza at 4 to 6 p.m. Bring a friend down, you know. We're going to hand out some tracts. Could God use one of these little tracts to change a person's heart? Don't know. But he could. Definitely he'll use your witness this Christmas. If you can have a friend who doesn't know Jesus yet to come over and have a cup of coffee, a mince pie, and, hey, what do you think about Jesus, neighbor? Who are you going to sing to? Well, you guys, how many hope to go to the plaza? I'll embarrass you. Well done, Danica. Okay, well, there's several hands going up. And I really like going down there. You know, I get into the Santa Claus type singing too. But when it moves from there to the carols and singing and watching people, why are they there? Because in their background, they must have had some exposure to Christ. Well, I won't be there. Bonnie and I won't be there this afternoon. Do you know why? It's too cold. No, we're going to celebrate a church that was planted 30 years ago, and we were part of that church planting team. You know what the name of that church is? Christ Joy. And the little Victor be like 30 years from now? What will this church look like 30 years from now? What will you look like, Ryan, 30 years from now? Yeah. Sing this song of great joy. And if one person comes to Christ, you know what goes on? Jesus tells us. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just one. And I was just thinking this morning as I prayed before the service, how many thousands of people are going to come to faith this day in this city, in China, throughout Asia, throughout the world? How many thousands are going to come? And what the angels must be singing, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. On men upon whom his favor rests. Let's pray. Father, I know as one of my mother's expressions when she was living I think I've got the Christmas spirit. And I want to pray that myself and Bonnie and Ruth and David and Joseph and their wives and all the families that make up the DBICC family here, our visitors, Cora and Peggy, their families, those dear families, and we saw just snapshots from Uganda, that the joy of knowing our sins have been dealt with, that the Christ is coming, and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where there is no tears, there are no disease, there is no oppression and financial poverty, there's this total beauty in Christ. And so I thank you. I thank you for joy. Great joy. And it's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.